Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
And she told the marshal, "I'm giving you my baby. This is my baby." And he told her, he said, "This is my job. And I'm going to take care of this baby. You don't have to worry about that."
All right, Rita. So, who do you work for?
Mr. Steele.
Mr. We've talked before, haven't we?
Yeah. Hi again, Agent Wyatt. Mr. Steele's birthday party is in 20 minutes, and I know you're really busy, but it would be really nice if you'd just... Hello?
American 383 crashed on the hill short of the runway coming in from LaGuardia. There were some survivors, and I actually saw some coming in with mud all over their shoes and the bottom of their trousers that wandered back to the airport.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast. Start here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of three podcasts today, two national and one locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with a podcast we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to Start Here. Our first podcast on this week's Start Here is Fugitive Waves. From the producers of The Kitchen Sisters, Fugitive Waves is a podcast about stories from the B-side of history, the forgotten people, lost recordings, hidden worlds. With inextricably woven stories told through interviews, field recordings, and music, Fugitive Waves tells stories that are dying to be told. Stories from around the world, both past and present, about remarkable people and places. The Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, are award-winning producers with a knack for finding and telling the most compelling stories that make up our collective cultural heritage. Here's a clip from what we think is a gateway episode of Fugitive Waves titled The First Day of School. The episode documents the desegregation of a school in New Orleans in 1960 through the eyes of the students that lived through it. Here we'll listen to a clip of a collection of audio bites captured in interviews with some of the first black students that entered the newly desegregated school, as well as some of the archival recordings from that time.
I can remember getting dressed and a black car drove up, parked in front of the door. The household got real quiet. It was the U.S. Marshals coming. So my mother and I left, and they drove us to the school building. And she said, "Sit to the back of that seat and do not put your face out of that window." When we turned the corner, all I can see was crowds of people. Police on horseback. The only thing I could relate it to was a parade was coming. It looked like a Mardi Gras day. Why did we have to go to school on Mardi Gras?
I didn't think it was a Mardi Gras. I was scared. All I could see is these crowds of people, and if they could get to me, I thought they was going to kill me.
That morning when the marshal came to pick my daddy and I up, my mother was home. She was a nervous wreck. And she told the marshal, "I'm giving you my baby. This is my baby." And he told her, he said, "This is my job. And I'm going to take care of this baby. You don't have to worry about that."
November 14th, 1960, Leona Tate, Tessie Prevost, Gail Etienne, and Ruby Bridges integrated the public schools here in New Orleans 6 years after Brown was decided. I'm Keith Plessy, a fourth-generation descendant of Homer Plessy, president and co-founder of the Plessy and Ferguson Foundation.
Brown versus Board of Education was the landmark school desegregation case. There were many challenges in implementing that case.
I'm Brenda Billups Square, co-pastor of Beecher Memorial Congregational United Church of Christ. I'm an archivist preserving the history of black education. When it comes to implementing Brown versus Board of Education, New Orleans is chosen by the NAACP and a very courageous judge. Two schools were selected, William France and McDonough 19.
When did you first and began to think about Leona going to school at McDonough.
After we had got the application and she passed the test, well, that's what gave me the idea she was going.
How did you happen to make the application in the first place?
Well, it was in the paper, and I just called up and asked them to send me one.
My mama filled out the application. They selected 145 families. They chose 5 families, but only 4 could participate. NAACP was working with our parents at that time. I'm Leona Tate, one of the 6-year-old black girls that integrated the all-white public schools here in New Orleans, Louisiana.
A taste from the podcast Fugitive Waves from PRX. You can listen to the captivating storytelling of the Kitchen Sisters and their subjects with Fugitive Waves, available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Next up is a new addition to the Podcast Central collection with a new take on podcast storytelling. The Penumbra Podcast is all about stories you recognize told in ways you won't expect. The people at Penumbra got fed up with consuming the same stories time and again, so they set out to write some new ones themselves. The premises of the stories are still familiar, but the familiar tropes and cliches associated with those stories are thrown out the window to make room for new and different ideas. For example, the Penumbra Podcast asks why every male and female adventurer end up falling in love with each other, why heists never go to plan, and why we generally accept other generally accepted tropes of narrative. What they'll find instead, you'll have to listen for yourself. Here's a sample from a gateway episode of the Penumbra Podcast titled Happy Birthday, Mr. Steele. We think it's a gateway episode because it's a non-canonical special involving many characters that have appeared in mini-season stories on the Penumbra Podcast. It's a fast-paced, frenetic take on a last-minute party story.
Hello, this is Rita's House, starring Rita. How can I help you?
Hey, just the Rita I wanted to talk to.
I know that voice. Hey, wait a minute. Aren't you the one who keeps calling and trying to sell me phone books from 30 years ago?
No! I mean, yes. But that's not why I'm calling. It's me, Rita, Mick Mercury, Juno's best friend.
Well, I don't know about that.
Listen, I just wanted to tell you that I got your message yesterday, and I'm on my way.
Message? Oh, right, I did call you.
You did, that's right. And then you stopped mid-sentence and said something about paper spaceships, and I thought, hey, how come nobody's built a car out of paper yet? It'd be pretty cheap, right? So, like gangbusters. So I spent a few dozen hours drawing up some plans, a business model or two,
Mr. Mercury, this is all really interesting, and of course I am gonna want to know about how I can get in on the ground floor of this business venture. But first, we got something much more important to deal with. Mr. Steele's party in 30 minutes!
Jeez, party is in 30 minutes!
Oh no, you forgot too?
Yeah, completely! I thought it started 30 minutes ago, and I was just calling to say sorry I was so late.
You... really? You here?
Almost. Just give me 5 minutes to find a place to park my bike and I'll be right in.
Yes, yes, thank you so much, Mr. Mercury. This is going to be the best Mr. Steele's birthday ever.
But hold on a sec. Do you think there's something wrong with the phone books idea? Because, like, I figured people sell antique furniture, right? So why not antique phone books? It's just that I did a lot of dumpster diving and just got a whole bunch of tennis.
All right, I'll see you soon. Bye. Whew, that's one down. Practically took care of itself. Now let's see. Who else? Oh, I know. I'll call Mr. Steele's other friend. Just gotta run this decryption software, embed a virus or two, and I'm in.
Hello? Who is this?
This is Rita. Hi!
Agent W, we need your full attention here.
Yes, fine. Just give me a moment. All right, Rita, out with it. What's this all about? Who put you up to this? Was it the Neptunians? Yablonsky's men. Did he get you the signal?
What? Oh, no, Sasha. I got the signal all by my little old self. It's all in a day's work for the one and only Rita.
Stop toying with me. How do you know my name?
Oh, the boss told me years ago. He talks about you a lot, you know. Grr, that's Sasha Wire. She sure is great. Agent of Dark Matters. I ought to teach her a lesson. Give her what I owe her. That kind of thing, I think. Usually I ain't listening.
Teach her a lesson? Give her what I owe her? What does that even mean? That can't be. This is about the December 25th deal, isn't it? That's classified information. How do you know?
Actually, the whole deal is going on the 24th. That's kind of why I was calling you, because I didn't want you to miss it.
The 24th? We were off by a day. Agent, put that down and come here.
But Agent W, this is highly explosive.
And this situation is more explosive. Trust me, put it down. I think I've got a lead on the December 25th deal.
Oh, wow, you must be important, huh? It takes like a whole 3 people just for you to write down an appointment.
All right, Rita, or whatever your name is, enough games. I'm only going to ask ask this once, and you had better not lie to me. We have ways of finding that out. We have ways of making you regret it.
Why would I lie? I just want you to come to the party.
The party? Write that down, Agent. Might be code. All right, Rita. So, who do you work for?
Mr. Steele.
Mr. We've talked before, haven't we?
Yeah. Hi again, Agent Wyatt. Mr. Steele's birthday party is in 20 minutes, and I know you're really busy, but it would be really nice if you'd just... Hello?
A quick sample from the Penumbra Podcast, a podcast with a new take on classic stories. Check it out on WVXU's Podcast Central. This week's local podcast takes a look at another aspect of a story, the writer who tells it. Inside the Writer's Head with Kurt Dinan is an interview show tasked with picking the brains of published authors about their process, their subjects, and everything that goes into creating a literary work. Inside the Writer's Head goes, as you can imagine, into the minds of authors to explore where they get their ideas, but also goes outside their heads to discuss publishing tips and the business side of an author's life. Through interviews with both local and national authors, Inside the Writer's Head is able to extract some great professional advice, but also some meaningful personal tales about how some of the authors got their starts. These writers have a lot to teach about their craft, and there's no better place to learn than inside their heads. Here's a snippet from a recent episode of Inside the Writer's Head featuring Cincinnati-born author Jim Spaeth. Jim discusses his memoir, Up, Up, and Astray, recounting his experience in the airline industry during the golden age of air travel in the 60s and 70s. In this clip, Jim and Kurt talk about some of the harrowing crashes that Jim experienced during his career that he covers in his memoir.
It's almost the 50th anniversary of one of the most harrowing incidents in the book, the crash of TW Flight 128 that crashed at CVG. On November 20th, 1967, so like very close to now, 50 years ago. How clear is that day in your mind almost 50 years later?
It was a night, and I can remember it as though it were last night. If I may digress a little bit, this crash of Flight 128, it was preceded by two other crashes. I seem to have a gruesome affinity, if you will, to be in the vicinity of air crashes. As you noted in the book, I was also in Boston when one went down, New York when one went down right near me. But getting back to the crash of 128, prior to that, 1965, a year earlier, I was working the Transworld counter, pardon me, when I saw some hubbub at the American counter. And I thought this was rather unusual. People having an exciting walking back and forth, so on and so forth, because at this time of night, flights aren't going out, they're usually coming in. And then I found out that American 383 crashed on the hill short of the runway coming in from LaGuardia. And when something like that happens, even though you're competitors, you really feel for the people that work for that airline because you know how heartbroken they are. And there were some survivors, and I actually saw some coming in, businessmen with mud all over their shoes and the bottom of their trousers that wandered back to the airport. And I heard later on that nobody thought of going down to the hospital to be with any possible survivors. So that was 1965. And then a year later, in November, I'm coming home from having a few drinks after work, and I stop at my typical grocery store in Price Hill to get some cigarettes, and I walk in, and I said, "You have a pack of Camels or two?" And he says, "Yeah." He says, the guy behind the counter, the owner, says, "Aren't you with TWA?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear about your crash." And I said, "Oh, my goodness." Immediately in my mind, Cincinnati was not the place I would think it would happen because we were the third biggest carrier in Cincinnati. I figured it was in St. Louis, Kansas City, Los Angeles. I said, "Where was it?" He said, "Well, you ran off the runway. It just came off the radio right here at the Greater Cincinnati Airport."
From the local podcast, Inside the Writer's Head with Kurt Dinan. If you're interested in more than that sample, you can listen for Jim Spaeth and many other authors on Inside the Writer's Head, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. We are hit-bound now, turning to look at the hits from the Apple Podcast Charts, compliments of iTunescharts.net. Three podcasts have dominated the New York so far, each reaching the top of the charts at least once. The three are Heaven's Gate, American History Tellers, and Atlanta Monster, each of which we've talked about in previous episodes so far this month. All recent number ones. And a new up-and-comer just launched and vaulted instantly to the top three. You'll understand why in a moment. It's the Ryan Rosillo Show. He's the former ESPN Radio sports pro that left ESPN in December. And his new podcast launched last week. So now you know why the Ryan Rosillo Show is the new number one mover and shaker on the Apple Podcast charts. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery Podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up, now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources, NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan, Kevin Reynolds, and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@wvxu.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.